Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, guys, it's Teresa, and you're here in the open, our podcast, and we have some things that we're changing it up a little bit. America has been sick, poor thing, and she said, we have to continue without her. And so it gave me an opportunity to bring somebody in. Kelly Davis is another member of our staff, and I'm actually really excited about this because every time I talk to you, Kelly, I feel like we just have a really good time talking about really beautiful and awful things all at the same time. So maybe before we get started, just because people might be interested in knowing a little bit about you, you want to share some thoughts about who you are?
Yeah. So my name's Kelly Davis. I work in MHA in our peer support and peer advocacy department. So I care very deeply about the perspectives of people dealing with mental health challenges in shaping everything we do to support one another and, you know, having people with lived experience be at the center of everything we do. I have been given 13 different psychiatric diagnoses. I have a lot of experience with the mental health system. So really excited to share ideas and things that I've learned and the work of MHA, because I think it's really important to reach as many people as possible with ideas to improve their lives and to support them in improving the lives of other people.
Yay. So the way we kind of do this, Kelly, is we pull topics that I get from users who come to our website, who take our screening tools, and sometimes they email us or sometimes they just type comments into the sections. And I'm often just pulling up topics that I see a lot of people ask about. We've covered things like, am I crazy? Or how do I make sense of using drugs and mental health problems, et cetera. So today we're going to talk about, it's a comment that I get a lot, and it's not necessarily a question, but I think that it reveals something about a common challenge that we all face. So the comment that people often type in this, in the section where we're like, how can MHA help you, is I hate myself. Mm-hmm. So that is what we are going to talk about today. I hate myself.
Yeah, I can relate for sure.
I think we should start with like, yeah, why do we hate ourselves? Like, what is that comment? Like, why do people type that?
I mean, I can remember even, you know, really early on as a kid, feeling that way about myself and feeling like I wasn't, as good as other people. I wasn't as talented as other people, wasn't as pretty as other people, and feeling kind of out of place and like I couldn't relate to the people around me. And I think that I kind of internalized that as, you know, anger towards myself is like, why can't I fit in? Why can't I be like other people? And I think it's complicated by my experience with mental health. But then I also think, too, it's something that a lot of people, regardless of what they're struggling with, also experience.
Yeah. I can't remember the first time I felt like I hated myself. I feel like most of my childhood is like a weird blur. Like I always tell my husband, like I was an amoeba until I was like 21 years old and had zero thoughts that were cohesive. And then like woke up one day and was like, I hate myself and I hate my life. But I find that I most often have that comment when I'm going down like my anxiety shame spiral, where I'll like say something or do something and I'm like, I freaking hate myself. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? I'm most comfortable in that space when I'm hating myself, but I also hate that I'm hating myself. Yeah. And it's taken a lot of work to try and understand what that means, that like we go through this sick cycle of self-hatred.
Yeah, you know? That's something that like in a lot of like my yoga experience, I've heard people talk about it as the second arrow. So it's like, not only do we feel the bad things about ourselves, but then immediately we feel the bad, like the shame about the bad things that we feel about ourselves. And when it's hating yourself for doing something, it's a very vicious, rapid, spiraling mess that it can lead to.
I don't know that people who don't experience mental illness like get this, you know? I once asked my husband, like, do you ever just forever always doubt yourself? And he looked at me like I was absolutely like, no, why would I ever And then my immediate thought was like, how dare you not ever understand what this is like? Like, I feel like this is a collective thing. And I was like, is it normal to utterly hate yourself, or is it not normal? You know, like,
yeah, I feel like it points to those two things where it's like, you feel like everybody shares the same ideas that you feel, but then you also feel completely different and awful compared to everybody else. There's a lot of things that I experienced that I thought were just normal.
Yeah.
And that were just a part of everybody's experience. And I think, you know, most of my views into other people's inner world is through the mental health perspective. So I also would assume that everybody feels this, but it might not be true. But then it's also, I think it really, hating myself, at least in my experience, creates really big barriers between me and other people, because I'm so sensitive and afraid that people will find out all of the things that I am spiraling about myself on. Is that it puts up this wall. It's like, I hear people say a lot, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me, and that kind of thing. So I think that hating yourself not only is unpleasant, but it can also get in the way of your ability to create and maintain relationships with other people too.
Yeah. That might be a really deep guilt or shame about not even in the moment. Like, I think a lot of people, and I looking back, it's almost like, oh, I forgot that I experienced that. Thanks, Kelly. You know, that freaking A, that place in your mind where you're like, I actually hate myself because I actually believe that I am a horrible human being who is worthy of nothing but death. Right. And that's I think that's where it does. It ties back to your past hurt and mental illness, the way the depression and the anxiety or the paranoia or whatever just gets into your identity and who you are. So
that idea before though, and I think we can talk about this later around some things that have been helpful, at least in my experience, but it reminds me in eating disorder recovery, a lot of the things that they talk about are the ed voice. So labeling the thoughts about I'm bad, I hate myself, and all the other intrusive thoughts you get, especially with eating disorders, as this external voice. And it's not you, and it's just this loud thing that you can separate out from who you are. And I think a lot of people find that helpful. And I don't necessarily resonate with it as much now, but in terms of initially starting to pull out, okay, what thoughts are me? What thoughts can I change? It was really helpful to think about them as an external idea, although that also made me feel very nervous because I was like, well, who controls my thoughts then? And it was a whole other kind of existential crisis. But I think, you know, pulling it out and saying, okay, these are not necessarily useful or valid voice in my head that's making me feel bad about myself. And even when I can't change it, I can just notice that, oh, these are thoughts that come up and they suck.
I think that's really important. Let's remember that we're talking about the idea that you can separate your voices in your mind into who is the voice that is me versus what is the voice that is my sick me, my mental illness me, my eating disorder me. I think that's a useful frame. But you said something that I thought was really interesting, which is around the issue of control. I think that happens a lot where you're like, I talk to people and it's been a while since I felt like I didn't have control over my hateful thoughts towards myself. But I do talk to people who it's so automatic that bad space, you know, I talk to you all the time about how far we've come from our bad spaces. And sometimes it's like, oh, at least for me, I'm on this other side. So I can look back and remember that I hate myself, but I still talk to a lot of people who are just deep in that space. And it's absolutely the case where they literally cannot separate their hateful thoughts towards themselves with who their identity is. And it doesn't feel like you're in control. I don't know if you have some thoughts about
that.
Yeah,
I mean, what's been really helpful for me is framing it around neuroscience and how the brain works. And it's just, you know, your brain has certain pathways that everything about your body is trying to make it as easy as possible to function. So like you learn how to drive and then you just remember how to drive and you don't have to think about it. And it's like these repeated things that our brains kind of clump together and just happen. And what was really useful for me was understanding that this is just kind of a path that my brain went to for whatever reason automatically. Mm-hmm. And then I notice now, even though I'm further out of it, I think I have much more control over it. If I'm really stressed out or if I do something stupid or if I do something that, yeah. you know, I think was a mistake that nobody else will ever remember because nobody's paying as much attention to me as I do, that I know that, oh, this isn't necessarily a valid thought, but it's just something that I've practiced a lot. And it's just kind of a habit yeah. that my brain is in. But I think getting to that place, there's kind of the in-between where, you know, earlier on, it wasn't, my thoughts didn't even, they were just it. It was just like, there was no space. It was just, this happens. And now I feel this really, really intensely. And it was a big process of learning that, oh, wait, I don't necessarily have to identify with, you know, first it's naming this feeling, right? And then it's, what is the thought that's leading to this feeling? And then it's, okay, do I have any control over these thoughts? So it's kind of a process of, for me, it's been a process of like pulling it out and a slow process of pulling it out kind of by phase of like, okay, this is where my brain goes. This is the intense feeling. These are the thoughts that I'm having during that. And like, these are the things that trigger it. And also nobody's paying that much attention to, for better or worse, nobody's paying that much attention to me.
I am so going to bring you back for stopping stupid thoughts. That's totally right. I mean, I think what you're saying is grounded in what we know about research, right? About our thoughts are tied to the way our brains work. And we basically grew up with habits of beating mm-hmm. ourselves up. So it's totally easy for our brains to go there and probably feels comfortable in that space. And one of the things I've always wondered about hateful thoughts are like specifically thoughts that you turn in on yourself mm-hmm. as opposed to other thoughts like the world is evil mm-hmm. or all men are abusers, right? Mm-hmm. Like the thought that I am crappy and I'm not worthy of love. Mm-hmm. Why are these specific thoughts so hard to get rid of?
Yeah. And I think too, it's also that there is that added shame piece, especially now when everyone's like self-love, 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 love yourself. And you're like, well, if everybody else feels like this, I must super be doing something wrong. Especially to feel it this intensely.
Yeah.
There's something there too, is like, there's the added shame of like, I shouldn't feel like this. And other people around me, everybody's talking about self-love all the time. And why can't I figure it out?
And for people who hate themselves, that feeling of loving yourself mm-hmm. is so foreign. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Like when I'm stressed, I go back to my bad space like immediately. It's like mm-hmm. that old habit that mm-hmm. comes back up with all the other bad habits that I have. But yeah. it's so much so that if somebody shows me like compassion, mm-hmm. I cannot handle it. Like I'm yeah. going to cry.
Yeah.
you know? Yeah. Like, and it reminds me of that time when I hated myself so bad that the idea that I was worthy was painful. Like I couldn't even say those words. It would literally just choke in my head, or the thought that I was worthy was so not okay mm-hmm. that it would even make me angry, mm-hmm. which made me hate myself even more.
Yeah.
You know, does mm-hmm. that,
yeah.
Did that happen to you?
Well, because I think it's really overwhelming to go from I constantly am repeating that I hate myself and feeling that I hate myself to, oh, just love yourself, which is just such a massive leap. I think very few people go from I hate myself to I love myself like very quickly. Maybe some do. I don't know them, but kudos to them. That's why I think peer support is so important and people sharing their stories are so important, because something that's been really powerful for me is hearing people that I really respect and admire talking about hating themselves. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You hate yourself?
Or outing yourself. I think I remember the first time I said out loud, I'm maybe addicted to hating myself, mm-hmm. you know, like I am my own domestically violent relationship and mm-hmm. I am more comfortable in being in this space. Like mm-hmm. I experienced abuse, but now I'm going to abuse myself. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to break up with me as the abuser because yeah. I was so comfortable. And I don't know why, because that's sick, right? Like, yeah. and I have definitely heard other people say things that are similar. And
yeah.
I can tell a friend, you shouldn't hate yourself, or, oh, those are your hateful thoughts mm-hmm. towards yourself. Mm-hmm. But it's so much harder to take care of yourself and like not put yourself on the back burner or show yourself self-love. I think even a woman who hasn't experienced trauma knows what it's like to constantly berate yourself or put yourself last.
Yeah. I mean, the trauma piece too was really important, and like reading about the experiences of people who experienced a lot of trauma growing up or, you know, earlier on in their lives is like, you know, I hate myself and I don't feel like a human. And then I read that's really common and I was like, oh. I thought it was this weird thing that I did, but apparently a lot of people who share experiences with me also figure this out. And I think too, especially tying it to trauma or any kind of mental health challenge, there's something to externalizing with anger that's been really helpful for me, and saying, oh, this isn't my fault. This is something outside of me. I'm very feisty. And it like taps into that part of my personality to be like, oh, well, you know, out of spite, I'm going to figure out how to love myself because I'm not going to let this external thing or this whatever my mental health stuff is ruin my life, you know, and continue to ruin my life. If there's things out there that I can figure out how to do, it's not going to beat me.
That's so interesting. It's like I think there is a process where when you start to go, okay, how do I get out of this space, that you're like, what mind tricks do I need to do to catch myself and like derail myself from the hate? It sounds like for you, it was like, I am so angry and I'm a fighter that I'm going to fight. So I remember this story. It was like a moment where all of a sudden a light switch went on for me. But in the whole process of self-hatred, I could not accept gifts or love or attention or positive affirmation for people. And I realized, oh my God, like this is all part of it. But it started with one day when this friend's mom actually, who was like, oh gosh, this is what it feels like to have a loving maternal like person in your life. She turned to me and she was like, you're being so selfish. And she was like, you won't let people love you. You just love other people. So you essentially rob them of the gift of giving. Like, you're so selfish. And I was like, what the hell? It just did something in my head where I was like, that I hate myself, but I hate being selfish more than I hate myself. So like, I don't know if that's like the mind trick that you did, but it knocked me off my feet a little bit, or enough that I was like, oh, I can't be a dick.
Yeah.
To myself or other people, or not be in relationship. Like actually hating myself is making me separated from people.
Yeah. Cause I think there's too, the other side of it is the self-compassion, which isn't as far as self-love, I think, in terms of like a stretch from self-hatred. Is just like, I'm a human and this is a thing that humans experience and I don't have to be perfect. And like, I didn't believe it at first, but I think that as a mantra was helpful because it doesn't all obviously have to be. I think there's something to say, you know, on the flip side of externalizing with fury the things that my brain tells me, there's also the ability to sit with my feelings, because I think too, like, at least in my experience, it's been really valuable to say, okay, I can sit with my younger self who, you know, had to navigate this world in a really painful way, and like, I get why you'd feel like that and it wasn't your fault. It's just like stripping it of how emotionally charged and reinforcing it is was helpful and has been helpful and continues to be helpful for me when it kind of resurfaces.
Yeah. And so I know we talked about like, what do we do about it? And you talked about like, maybe there's some benefit of making your voice something else, which we can talk about. But I think there's a phrase in, I mean, I hear this, right, in clinical work where you talk about your inner child. And that, I think that sounds like a little bit what you're saying, but it's also about forgiveness and also about compassion, is about being able to maybe like putting your identity of who you are into something that you can have more compassion towards to help you build the new habit of compassion. It's like, I don't have compassion for myself as an adult who should know better or do better, but if I can... Maybe that's a trick, a mind trick. Is that what you mean? Like, see yourself as a child, learn how to forgive yourself? And like, what would that person or that child need or want to start over or something like that?
Yeah. And I had a really hard time because I think when I was growing up, I don't think this idea was introduced to me. And I think as a middle schooler, it probably would have been confusing because I would be like, no. And even in high, I don't know, but it was really hard when that idea was introduced to me because I think I was like, what? Sounds weird. I don't want to do that.
Well, yeah. Oh, my first therapist who told me to go check out my inner child said to go to a, I have been a therapist, so I get how challenging it is, but she literally told me to go to a playground and watch other children to tap into my inner child. And I was like, I'm going to be like a creepy stalker person sitting around staring at children. Like, that's not, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Yeah,
I do relate to the idea of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I had to do that, right? Like that was part of the self-hatred, was also realizing that the mental illness started on its own. It is its thing. And trauma, same thing. Mm-hmm. It is its thing. It did not start with me, but I'm special ninja. So what I do is I take this ugly, hateful, hurtful things and I foster it. And then because of that, I did things that just were destructive to myself and those around me. And that was the part that continued to reinforce the concept of hating myself. And I had to do so much work to forgive myself because at some point it wasn't even the things that were the mental illness or the trauma. It was like, it was more than that.
I think this problem, like a lot of other problems, really thrives in isolation. So it's hard to be like, oh, now I'm just going to try to practice not being like this.
Yeah.
Especially when it's really complicated and it's not an easy, or at least for me, wasn't an easy or fast process. It was like years of work.
Oh my God. Oh, learning to like yourself. Actually, learning, let's break it down. Because when you hate yourself with such zeal. Yeah. Loving yourself doesn't even seem like the possibility. No. I think first I gotta stop kicking myself down the stairs every single time, right? Mm-hmm. Because there is like a weird thing where like I like beating myself up for whatever sick reason. Mm-hmm. That's the first step, catching yourself doing that.
Yeah.
Because I told you that story about the woman, I think I had to start practicing things that were hard, like to say out loud, I am a good person. Or first I couldn't even say it. I had to read it. I put all these post-its on my wall. It was like, I woke up the next day and I had to read them and then like work on slowly trying to believe that there were even a possibility of truth, that what I was worthy, or like I was going to be okay, or I am lovable.
Even believing that it could be different when it's all you've ever known is really brave and hard.
So hard. Brave?
I think so.
That's interesting you say brave. Why brave?
Because you are actively going against what you've known and you don't know if it's going to change and it's going to be hard. And I think that's brave. I think trying to change anything that is painful because there's risk, right? It's easier for me to stay in hating myself than it is for me to say, well, what if I didn't do that? If I love myself today and then I go out and do something that I think is stupid, then I'll be like, you shouldn't love yourself. You are so wrong. Why would you think that you could change? And it's, you know, picking yourself up after that again and being like, okay, well, maybe I can, and doing it over and over again. And I think that's really brave, is, you know, I'm going to put in the effort over time to move myself away from something that also protects me in a lot of ways.
Oh, we are brave. I'm going to cry.
Well, it's a lot of vulnerability in acknowledging it and trying to change it and trying to change anything.
This is like the thing. It's like, is it important to dive back to figure out where it comes from? Or you just like, no, you basically know that you hate yourself today. And the only way to stop is to actually stop and see a reason to stop.
It probably depends on the person. I know a lot of people are like, I'm not going to therapy because I don't want to talk about my childhood.
Uh-huh.
For me, I think it came in the reverse order. I was like, I can learn how to change this. And then I was in a place where I could talk about where it came from in a more meaningful way, because where it comes from is really painful. So if I've like practiced enough of how to not constantly tear myself down, I can feel safer going back to things that basically exacerbated or like made these feelings worse or made them come up or whatever. I mean, I think people can go either way. I think, you know, trauma is really important and it's important to validate hard experiences, but I also don't think that you have to go back and talk about every bad thing that's ever happened to you to deal with this. And I think that that's a big barrier for a lot of people if they want support from like more professional support, is I hear that a lot as well. I don't want to talk about my childhood. I just want help now. And I think that you can do both or either. And it's just really what works for you.
Yeah, that's right. Because we don't do shoulda, woulda, couldas. And honestly, whatever works for you is the right answer, because there is no right answer. One consistent thing that is the truth is that it seems like it's really easy to fall into the place where you hate yourself, but coming out of it and digging yourself out of that hole is so hard. And that's like about, what is it? You need like 11 positives for every one hateful thing. You know, if somebody is in a bad relationship or a bullying relationship, you can see that, you know, that's the case. But when you hate yourself, you're your own bully. So you're 11 positive thoughts to deal with every one hateful thought. And we have so many hateful thoughts all the time. It just takes a really long time to stop hating yourself. And then to do things like, you know, actually exercising, like after you fix the thoughts, then you still got to do all the other stuff. Like, oh, I have to look in the mirror and look at myself and say like, oh, I look beautiful, or I accept the way that I look, or I like myself enough to exercise or not eat crap, which is also just hard because crappy food is so delicious. But so it starts with thoughts, but I think the next step even to, the hardest thing, letting somebody do something for you.
Yeah. And I think too, so I'm sober, and one of the things that, one of the many sayings in the 12-step world is, and there are many, is you can't think your way to right action. You have to act your way. So, you know, it's doing it even when it's hard over and over again is what will cause it to change. You can't think your way out of it. It's really hard to just be like, oh, I want, you know, everybody knows all the things that are bad for them, but we still do them. Right. So it's not just thinking and knowing the information. It's practicing it over and over again.
Yeah.
It's not just focusing on, okay, well today I don't hate myself because of this. It's also building out good things that can kind of move you to think more broadly, at least about yourself, or give yourself some different context, because you might feel a general sense of hatred, but most of us can think of some part of our life, whether it's, you know, I'm a really good friend, or I do well in school, or I like to read, or whatever it is, that, you know, I don't hate myself when I do this. And if I build more, you know, build more of that and kind of engage more of that kind of stuff too, I think it can help, because it's having, you know, a singular story about who we are as a person strips us of all of how nuanced and how, you know, how complex we are.
You're talking about, you remind me about the process of getting to the place where you're on the other side, which is, I love myself.
Yeah.
And which is so hard to say, like for a person who's like hated themselves their whole lives, because I don't really love myself. Even as I say it to you.
Yeah.
But I have to say it, because I'm like, as I say it, it's choking me.
Even self-acceptance, right? It doesn't have to be, or self-compassion, you know, it doesn't have to be like, I'm great, because there's certainly something to, I need to hold myself accountable for things as well. Like, I do bad things, I mess up, you know, and it's not all, I'm perfect and great, and I need to love every single thing that I do, because I make bad decisions all the time. And it's unrealistic that I'll always feel excited and happy and I'm the best and blah, blah, blah. It's just not, we make mistakes. And I think that having the, you know, I have to love myself all the time as a standard can also make it feel harder, because it's not really realistic. I don't think anybody constantly loves them, you know, feels super jazzed about themselves.
No. Gosh. Well, I'm sure some people.
Oh, don't. Yeah. They're probably not listening.
But yeah. I don't know. That's kind of one of those things where it's like, is it normal? Like, do people who are healthy and feel good, like they actually do love themselves. I have met people who I love and who are really healthy who genuinely say like, I do, I love myself. All, and I don't know, that's part of that. It's that spectrum of self-compassion mm-hmm. towards self-acceptance. And loving is not like having some dream of like butterflies love. Like that's not what right. we're talking about here. We're like talking about mm-hmm. having grace and like love for yourself so that when you make mistakes, you're not, the automatic thought is not to kick yourself down the stairs and say, you're so stupid,
yeah.
which is what we used to do, you know? Mm-hmm. I think we had a nice discussion. We're going to talk about stopping stupid thoughts. I mean, the self-hatred is a specific kind of stupid thought. Maybe this comes to the conclusion and this is our end. And we're going to close with reminding people that we should move or strive towards self-acceptance. And hating yourself is painful and you don't have to be there. And be brave. Take risks. And the hardest risk is to love yourself and always remember to fight in the open.
It's helpful for people to hear how other people process it and what's been helpful for them. Even if there's no clear, this is the answer for you, just saying, okay, this is something that other people experience and these are some ideas and I can take what works and leave what doesn't work for me and, you know, keep going towards whatever wherever I'm looking to get to.
Yeah, I agree. And as somebody who's a contributor for us in writing, I think you started to see the difference. It's so hard to write our articles and it just feels so weird. I think we're still trying to figure out that process and like how that works best. But this is a totally different way of talking about these topics. Mm-hmm. So, all right, guys, keep on fighting. Fight on. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.